Our scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 17 through 22. You can find this on the insert in your bulletin, as well as on page 143 in your ESV Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along there as well. Hear now God's word. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. This is the word of the Lord.
We are finishing up our series called Faith Forward as we make some significant transitions out of the denomination that we were a part of into the EPC. And in a few months, 10 months or so, we'll be exiting our building and going to a new location somewhere in this community. Lots of exciting things and lots of changes happening in the life of our church. And so our plea to you is that you would make a commitment financially to NAPC in the coming year. And I want to report to you that over the course of the last couple weeks, every single one of our families and leadership, all of our elders, all of our deacons, all of our staff, have made a significant commitment to NAPC. And so we ask that as they lead us, that you would follow in that for God's glory and for our joy as we pursue our mission. And so as you leave today, there's a card that looks like this. It says annual commitment on one side. It looks like this on the other side. Ask that you take one. It's at the center table out there. It's at the Welcome Center. Please consider doing that. My hope is that we have 150 families that make that commitment by faith to trust that God is going to provide for you as you provide for the mission of NAPC. Now, last week I talked about grumbling versus grateful hearts, and how we are commanded to be grateful. And I gave you this challenge that you would write down 25 things that you are grateful for and then share that with a family member, a friend, or whoever. I hesitate to ask you to raise your hand if you've done it, but I'm going to go ahead and do that. Raise your hand if you actually completed that. Okay. I don't need to say anything. I mean, Here's one woman who did this, and she's a teacher. And so she wrote down all the things she was thankful for in her, like on the whiteboard in the corner in her classroom. And I love this for a couple reasons. One, it's hard to read, but number 12 is bacon, which, amen to that. But what was really interesting, she told me that she works with students who have behavioral struggles, and one of the kids she has, he is one of the most difficult. He saw that, and he was like, yeah, I want to, he asked her about it, and then he decided that he was going to write down 25 things he was thankful for, too, so that's pretty cool. This morning, as we close this series out, we've looked at, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel. And so in week one, we looked at their calling out of slavery through the Red Sea into freedom. And then last week was about, you know, to get to freedom, you go through the desert, and that's a hard place. And you know, the people of God, they were provided for richly, but they grumbled against God because they didn't know what was coming next. And God, you know, provided amazingly for them, provided them manna in the desert and quail, and he was their provider. It was just scary because they didn't know where it was coming from. This week, I want to focus on a teaching that is very prevalent in the Bible that relates to us as we move forward in faith in how we serve other people and how we seek to engage in relationship and blessing among those who are most vulnerable in our city. How to get out of our building and into the city and to serve. And so I want to show you a picture of a couple. Their names are Bill and Sue, and they're in their mid-70s now. They raised their four boys in Orrville, Ohio. Okay, and Orrville is a small town. It's got a few people who are wealthy and a lot of people who are, you know, working class, and then a number of folks who are also very poor. And Bill and Sue, Bill worked as an electrician at the Rubbermaid factory for 44 years. In those 44 years, he missed 4 days of work, as sick days or off days. And three of them was for the birth of his three sons. And one of his adult sons shared this with me. He's not sure which son got the short end of the stick and didn't get. But then the other day he missed was he got his appendix out and he was back to work the next day. Okay, so hard worker, 16-hour shifts, 7 days a week. And Sundays, they didn't go to church. And it was because he wanted to provide. It was double time on Sundays, and so he didn't go to church. And so there wasn't a faith foundation for these four boys growing up, and that had an effect. But what did also, what was also provided as a foundation was, as these boys were growing up, and Sue worked in the schools, and she loves kids, and they practiced hospitality and care for people who needed it. And so these boys all played sports. They would all kind of descend on this household at dinner time. When dad got home, they'd all have dinner together. And you can imagine for four boys, like small army is what you need, the food you need to provide for. And they would bring their friends over. And Sue would just cook like three times as much as they needed. And that way they could provide for anybody who ended up stopping by. And that happened regularly. And they would collect, Sue would collect coats for some of the kids who needed it. And they would volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club. And to this day, Sue works as an aide for a classroom with special needs kids because she just loves kids. So they didn't have much. And Jim, their son, said, you know, when he was growing up, he didn't realize they were poor, but they actually were. Didn't realize it, though. And part of it was because They were pouring out their lives for people. They were serving other people, not necessarily in an overtly Christian way. That doesn't mean it doesn't leave its mark, though, right? And so Jim, as he grows up, he goes down a path without Christ, heading for disaster, and the Lord pulls him back from that and rescues him. And that's a whole nother very good story, but not for this morning. And in Christ, he has grown and become a man who did not shed his earlier experience of seeing his parents reach out to people constantly. And now, as he follows Christ, he is actually working to implement this service to other people, this compassion for other people, this great generosity. And the way that that relates to our congregation is this. About a year and a half ago, we were challenged by this denomination that we're going to, the EPC, to get out of our community and to go and serve, not just in a way, and we've been doing that in many respects in Franklin, so we just have not been able to build relationships, build friendships with people and have long-lasting impact. And so we formed this team, and many of you have heard this. We had this vision team of eight people, and we met at different places in the city, and we prayed, and each member of the vision team had a prayer team. And we all prayed, and we sought the Holy Spirit's guidance. And where we landed is this community of Linden, okay? And we believe that that is 100% where God has led us, and that happens to be the community where Jim Haley is a police officer, okay? And Jim was part of that vision team. And Jim has his job, he's implemented this concern for folks who are the most vulnerable. I mean, he's inviting prostitutes to church, like as part of, you know, when he's on the beat. And he arrests gangbangers when they do bad stuff. But he's also ministering to them as he arrests them. And now he is part of leading us into a community of need. And I want you to know that the caring for the vulnerable, that is near to the heart of God. That is actually, as you read the Bible, one of the central ways that we understand who God is, that God is a God who concerns himself with the poor, the vulnerable. And that's what I want to look at this morning as we take one last look at the people of God before they go into the promised land. So let's pray together. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning and we are grateful as we've sung hymns together and we've heard the choir sing and we heard the children sing. We are grateful for so many things that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, you would convict us and spur us on to practice gratitude in how we seek to be generous, generous toward the things that you are doing in and through NAPC, and also generous with our time and with how we spend it in relationship with people, some of whom need relationship desperately, and we need relationship as well, but some folks who are vulnerable and who need genuine help and concern. And so we pray that you would convict us and that you would help us to see what your word has to say about this calling on every single one of our lives. All of us as Christ followers, help us to submit to your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 4 points that I want you to follow along with, and you can find this on the back of the scripture. As I said, that we've been through the people of God going through the Red Sea, and then the people of God complaining and grumbling and God providing for them. The first 5 books of the Bible describe kind of the beginnings of God's people. They're very important. It's called the Pentateuch. And so Exodus is the second book. We've spent 2 weeks in Exodus. Now we're skipping ahead to the 5th book, the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy, Moses and his generation, they have been rebellious. And they have grumbled too much, and God has judged them and told this generation, you will not enter the promised land, but the next generation will, so get them ready for what they should do when they get to the promised land. And so that's really, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses's, like, his motivational speeches, sermons to the people of Israel who will be entering the promised land and what they should do and what they should not do. And this little snippet from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 through 22, gives us a window into the heart of God for the vulnerable. And so I want to point out, first of all, something that is repeated a couple times in the text, and that is this: remember where you came from. If you look in verse 18, it says, you, people of Israel, shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And then skip down to verse 22. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And in both, the way it ends, therefore I command you to do this. So they are to remember that they were slaves. They were helpless, hopeless, vulnerable, oppressed. And God came and rescued them from that situation and brought them into his own family, and then is going to give them a land for them to prosper in. And just as they were slaves, they must never forget that there are going to be people in their midst who need the same care and compassion that they needed. You see this sometimes. Like, remember where you came from. We say that today, right? If somebody has started out in humble beginnings and has gone on to great prosperity and success, they should remember where they came from. I mean, I saw this the other day, a month and a half ago, went to my son's soccer game. It was down in Groveport, and they have these amazing facilities, these athletic facilities. And Groveport is, it's I don't know, a moderate community. Le'Veon Bell Field is what the high school stadium is. And so you've probably heard that name before if you know football, or others of you may never have heard of him, and that's okay. But he runs the football well, and he's made a lot of money doing that, given back to his community. Remember where you came from. That's what God is telling the people of Israel. And that is true for us too, because this theme of slavery, it never goes away in the Bible. We're not enslaved physically in the land of Egypt. But every single one of us was enslaved to sin. And Paul picks up on this theme in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? It's binary choice. It's one or the other. No free agents here. Either sin that leads to death, obedience that leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart. And notice where the thanks goes to. Not thanks be to how smart you are, or thanks be to how you figured it out, or how compassionate you are. No, thanks be to God who rescued you from spiritual slavery and set you free to be obedient to the one who created everything and who loves you. Amen? Okay, we were slaves. Slaves to sin, now we're slaves to righteousness, and we remember where we came from. And part of that means we show concern because we were recipients of redemption. Recipients of redemption. We have been brought into life and freedom, and we have this redemption, and for that reason, we act a certain way. Now, I want to point out to you that the Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament, okay? We believe that all of the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that the Old Testament is God's Word, that it's authoritative over us. And some of you may have the question, well, if God's Word is authoritative, why do we not obey all the laws of the Old Testament? Isn't that contradictory, or aren't we being hypocritical? Why do we like some laws and not like other laws? How can we as Christians put as number 12 on our list of things we're thankful for bacon? Because the Old Testament says we shouldn't eat pork. So what's up with that? And if we're ignoring that, can't we ignore all the laws? And what about this law of taking care of this group of people, of orphans and widows and sojourners? Well, I want to explain to you, we are completely consistent to say that we believe the whole Bible. We believe the whole Bible is authoritative, and still say that we no longer fall under some of the laws of the Old Testament, okay? And here's how I want you to understand this. There are three kinds of laws in the Old Testament. The first is ceremonial. This isn't in your outline, but feel free to write it down if you would like. Ceremonial laws are those kinds of laws that tell you what to eat and what to wear. Okay, and also what to sacrifice, okay, like the Day of Atonement. You have to make sacrifices, it says. So why don't we follow those? Because Jesus completed or fulfilled those laws. In other words, those laws were put in place to show how holy God is and how much we would have to do to be right with God on our own, and also how woefully short we fall. And so laws that have to do with what we eat, what we wear, sacrificial laws, those have all been fulfilled in Jesus. The ceremonial laws have been fulfilled by Jesus because he lived perfectly for us. The sacrificial laws, because he was a sacrifice for us, okay? And that's why Jesus says himself in Mark 7:19 that he declares all foods clean. So those laws we rightly ignore. They were for a particular time, that time preparing people for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. Second, there are civil laws. You notice that there are laws in the Old Testament, they seem very odd to us in our day and age. Well, they were for a particular place and time for the nation of Israel at a particular time in a particular geography in the land of Israel. We, as God's people, New Testament covenant people, are not part of one particular nation at one particular time. We practice dual citizenship. Okay, most of us in this room are citizens of the United States of America. More importantly, we are citizens of heaven. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. And so we can be obedient to the laws of the land, but we have a higher obedience, and that is to the living God. The same is true for somebody who lives in Uganda or somebody who lives in China. They can be Christians, but their allegiance transcends a particular nation and state. And so those civil laws were never intended to apply to us today. Finally, we have the moral law of the Old Testament. Very much applies to us. It is for our sanctification. And sanctification is just a fancy word that means becoming more like Jesus. Okay? So the Ten Commandments, we are bound to seek to obey them even though we fall short. And we don't seek to obey them so that God likes us. No, God has shown he loves us in Christ. And out of response to his love for us, we seek to be obedient. Now, the moral law has more, it's more than just the Ten Commandments, and it includes passages like this one in Deuteronomy, both the negative, don't pervert justice, and the positive, be generous. And so we are commanded to care. It is not optional, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are commanded to care for the vulnerable. These three groups were the most vulnerable of that day. Sojourners, should be like immigrants. They were not Israelites, and yet they were going to be living in Israel. How do you treat them? Well, you don't deny them justice. Okay? You do leave some of what you have for them. The next group, the fatherless, those would be orphans, of course. And then widows, it says in verse 17, don't take a widow's garment in pledge. That means if a widow owes you something, don't take her last, like her blanket, her very last article of clothing. These are three groups that were exceedingly vulnerable at the time. And I would argue, not much has changed. You know, widows who don't have family to look after them, and orphans and immigrants, some of the most vulnerable people in our midst today. And I love how this passage describes both the negative, don't pervert justice, and the positive. When you reap your harvest and forget a sheaf, don't go back and get it. Don't beat your olive trees like 18 times to get every last one. Leave some of them. And so on. Generosity toward those who have little. And lest you think this is an isolated passage, I listed at the bottom of your outline a bunch of passages. This could be your homework that, you know, who knows? Maybe more than six of you could do it this week, okay? Read those passages and meditate on them. I want to show you a few of them. Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people shall say, amen. I love how Moses is like, you know, say amen that you are cursing yourself if you don't do this. Deuteronomy 27:19. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. You see how it's in the very heart of God, not just in that time, at all times. Often, the people of Israel would fail at this. And so, the middle part of your Old Testament is filled with the prophets. And the prophets, over and over again, call the people of God to repentance for their lack of concern for the poor. Here's an example, Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right, Isaiah says. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Not just in the Old Testament, though. Jesus' mission statement, this is what he says in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And you fast forward to the early church after Jesus has been resurrected and ascended into heaven. Paul is writing about how he talked to other church leaders and they were working together. And he says this, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And the last one I'll share, James, the brother of Jesus, says this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Friends, all through the Bible, we see this, and we see that we are to care for the vulnerable, the lost, the enslaved, spiritually, absolutely, by sharing the great news of the gospel and praying, but also for the physically vulnerable, for those who lack education and basic help and role models and so on. And not we are those in need as well. And so when we go to build relationships, there is so much that we gain, but we are called to go. And so, faith forward to Linden. And I want to be clear, we are not relocating as a congregation to Linden, okay? We are relocating to a location in this area. But make no mistake, we are going to Linden to serve, to build relationships, to love people and to be loved. That's what we're going to do. It will take a lot of consistency, a lot of people, and a lot of time to build relationships. But that is what we are committed to do. Amen? Amen. That's what we are committed to do. And so, my point is simply this. We've been given so much by God that we did not earn ourselves. We've been set free from spiritual slavery. Therefore, we are to strive towards generosity, towards the struggling in our midst. And we do that as a church. Okay, our church tithes. We give 10% of whatever comes in giving to those who are struggling, to ministries that empower those who don't know Christ, those who are struggling. And our tithing is a great blessing. Maybe it should be more. You know, maybe we should do more. Maybe we should add 1% a year or something like that. That would be interesting. But that's a start for us as a church. And individually, you are called to give and to be a presence in relational ministry. So I want to ask, we have a team of people. Jim Haley is leading it. It's called the Implementation Team. And I want you guys to stand up. It's Jim Haley, Nicole Contour, Janet Deemer, Ray Lehman, Jen Schell, and Tyler Ranney. Okay? And wow, all six of you are here at this service. Praise God. And you'll be here at acoustic too? Great. Thank you. So, guys, they are going to be in the narthex afterwards, and you can ask them any questions you want about getting engaged in ministry. Let's give this team a hand for leading us. Thank you. You guys can sit down. And I also want to point out that we have two folks who are actually serving, working in Linden, who came to see us. So Matt DiCenzo for FCA, stand up. And then Rhonda Childs, stand up. So let's give them a warm welcome. You guys stay up. Rhonda is the principal for the early childhood development school that we are partnering with. So if you brought in pumpkins, that went to some of the students. If you brought in Thanksgiving bags, that went to some of the students. Adopt a family, that's going to some of those students and their families. And Rhonda has communicated, the doors are open. Like, we can serve there. And she came here just to be here to answer questions, to be available as we seek to be engaged in Linden. So thank you so much for being here, Rhonda. Bless you. And Matt DiCenzo back here, the young bearded man, is on staff with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he works at Linden McKinley High School. He has connected many of us to serving there. And as a part of FCA, Matt raises his financial support, okay? What that means is his salary is made up of people who generously give to his ministry. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just telling you that that's the case. If you want to know more, ask Matt, okay? But he is here also to help us get engaged in ministry. So again, thank you both for being here. Praise God, yep. And they will be here. They'll be here after worship. You can talk to them. They'll be out in the narthex. Four practical things you can do. FCA Meals at Linden McKinley. Every Wednesday, we're making food here. We need people to help. Every Thursday, we are taking the food to athletes who are there to have a meal. We need folks to go there. It's very easy, practical. You can do that, okay? You can find out more from Matt and from others. Food Pantry Saturdays that begins this month. I think next, Jim, is it next Saturday? Is that the day? 29th. I don't know what day that is, but it's the 29th, okay? You can go down to NEMAP. It's a ministry we're partnering with, and you can begin to serve there. I mentioned the pre-K school that Rhonda, where she is the principal, lots of ways to get engaged there. And then finally, I talked about adopt a family. You can do that. And my hope is, friends, that you just flood that Christmas tree over there and take ornaments to bring back gifts. I hope there's nothing left for acoustic. I hope that the early bird gets the worm. So you guys pull all of that and serve in that way. And lastly, if you're not sure what you want to do, or you're in a really busy season in your life, or you're serving in a lot of different ways, and you just don't know if you can do this right now, I ask you to pray about it, think about it, and then there's an email on the bottom of this outline, and just say, hey, I'm in, I'm not sure what it is, or I know exactly what I want to do, and let us know, and we will follow up with you. I promise you that. My hope is that we're flooded with emails. We get 50 emails, 100 emails from our people who want to go and serve. So, faith forward. We are moving forward into our city to bless our city with the gospel and to bless really ourselves in relationship with folks who live in Linden. This is our community. Let's move forward in faith together. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.